Father, thank you so much for this time that we have with you. We know that every single breath is a gift from you. And when we see our friends and family that pass and we hear about people passing, we know that it's just a reminder that our lives here are fragile and they are quickly fleeting. Whether we have 8 years or 80 years, Lord, we know that every day is a gift from you. And we want to respond to you, Lord. We want to live according to what you say that we should do. So, Lord, would you open up our hearts today to you? Would you open up our spirits, Lord, and like we like to say that our hearts would be like soil and that you would till that soil, uproot things and make that soil ready to receive a seed that you would plant and that you would grow and that you would cause to bear fruit, eternal fruit for your name's sake and for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, B'Shem Yeshua, we pray. Amen. Amen. I love that analogy of that seed. And that's just I don't know. God speaks to me a lot of times in pictures. Does he speak to you guys in pictures? Like I'll see pictures of things and things in the natural and it just like sparks my heart in my spirit. And I think one of those things is definitely that seed kind of picture and our lives being like a soil. And I don't know about you guys. I don't know if we have some gardeners. I've dabbled in gardening. I don't exactly have a green thumb. But I do know that like when you're getting ready to plant things, it needs sometimes the ground is hard, right? And if you just try to plant a seed in that hard ground, ain't nothing gonna happen. There's no place for those tender roots to be able to grow and to go. And so when we ask God to till our hearts, to soften our spirits, it's like we're opening him up and saying, just dig down deep, uproot everything and make it ready to receive the things that you have for us. Those seeds, when they sprout, have you seen how like they start, those seeds, when they start sprouting, they just start very tenderly and gently. You know, but our faith is like that mustard seed that's the smallest seed, and it starts sprouting, and just these tiny little things, but all of a sudden, it becomes this great big bush. It becomes a great big tree, and that's how it is with our hearts. And when we open up our hearts to the Lord, and we allow him to plant things in us, he wants to grow good things in our lives. Amen? And part of what we're talking about this morning about the mission of the church, part of this mission of the church is really, we're talking about this big C church, like the global church, like the people of God, the family of God. Now, our congregation here is like a small C church, is a part of that, but we're part of something so much bigger than ourselves. Amen? We're part of something that's amazing, and it's really important for us to really realize we're talking about being on a mission. Being on a mission. The church, the body of Yeshua, the body of Christ, we have a mission. You listen, sometimes, I don't know, we just kind of eke out life. Sometimes it feels like the day-by-day grind is kind of what consumes us, right? Sometimes it feels like those things that are monopolizing a lot of our time and our energy and effort is just grinding things out or just existing. God forbid that even for the people of God that we would just feel like we're existing. We're just trying to make our rent. We're just trying to make our car payment. We're just trying to get by. We're trying to not lose it. We're trying to just hold it together. And it's like we wear this oppression sometimes, you know, just the weight of the world on our shoulders. And you can actually see some people's shoulders drooping down because they're like physically representing the things, the weight of life on them. And I believe that it's important for us as the followers, the disciples of Yeshua, to realize, listen, that's not for us. We are on a mission. We are on a mission. God put us on a mission, and there is a big mission for the church, for the Big C church, and it's the same for all of us. And it's very important for us, and this may be redundant. We may have heard about this before, and we probably understand these things, but for us, it's so important for us to remember, what is the main thing? What is our purpose? I don't know if you guys have ever seen that example of like a jar. There's a jar, and and there's these different size rocks. And if you put in sand, let's say that there's big pebbles, medium pebbles, and then sand. If you put in sand first, those little tiny things, and you fill that, like it's like you fill your jar with sand, there's no room for those big rocks to go in. But if you put that big rock in first, and then you put in those medium pebbles, and then there's room for sand. That's what life in structure, life in order should look like. And sometimes we worry about the small stuff, And we're so consumed by the small stuff, and it's almost like there's no room for the big stuff. And for us, it's important. We all have individual callings and individual missions, and that's great. That's awesome. God gives us those things. But that should come underneath the major calling for us as the body of Yeshua, the mission of the church. So what is this mission? Did you know that has anybody ever read the book, The Purpose-Driven Life? Has anybody in here ever read that book? Yeah, a number of us have read that book. Listen, that book sold 50 million copies. And I believe that Rick Warren, you know, he's a pastor at Saddleback Church. I believe that book sold so well just because of the title was such a hook. The Purpose-Driven Life. God wants us to live on purpose. God has a purpose, has a mission for us, and there's something deep written inside of our DNA as human beings. We want to live for something. We want to be on purpose. We want to live life on purpose, and there is a purpose, there is a mission that God gives all of us. So what is it? Jesus really breaks it down for us in pretty simple terms, and this is from Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. It says this, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, and the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Imagine trying to test Yeshua. All right, I'm going to test you, Yeshua. He says this. He says, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Basically, he's asking, like in the hierarchy, like what is the big stone? If we're thinking about that analogy of filling up this tube with a stone, what's the biggest thing that we should live our lives for? What should we be thinking about? Yeshua, Jesus replied in verse 37, he said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. He's basically saying, like, all of this thing, it can be summed up, the summation of this, the mission can be summed up in love the Lord your God with every single thing that you have and love others as you love yourself. That's incredible. That's amazing. And then again, Yeshua, after he rose from the dead and returned to his disciples, his followers, he also gave us the Great Commission. And from Matthew 28, 18 through 20, it says this, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Somebody say, go. And make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So here we have some pretty simple things to get conceptually. What are the greatest commandments? What is the mission of the Big C Church? As disciples and followers of Yeshua, what should we be doing? What gives us our purpose? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as you love yourself. And go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Spirit. And you're not alone. I'm going with you. This is our mission. These are the things that, you know, that we kind of talk about, like prioritization. This is the way that we should live our lives. This is foundationally what is so important to us. Brothers and sisters, we are on a mission. Amen? We're on a mission. We're on an assignment. You can kind of think of, like, I think of assignments in a couple different ways or missions. Some of us, it might be helpful to think of like when there's a war going on. And there's a general, and all of us have probably seen a war movie or are familiar kind of with what happens in war. And the general is in kind of this one part of the camp, and he's got his tent, and he's got the map, the layout of everything and where things are at. And you come in there, and he's got his colonels, and he's got his sergeants, and he's got his lieutenants and leaders, and he's saying, okay, here's the assignment. Here's what I want you to do. Here's the plan of attack. I want you to go here. I want you to do this. Here's what I want you to do. You go over this way, and you bring your battalion over this way. That's going on an assignment. That's going on a mission. That's carrying out something, a commandment. It's carrying it out. It's intentionally participating in something. It's an assignment. I also like to think of when we give our tithes and offerings, or when we're sowing into somebody else's life that needs some help, we're taking our money and we're saying, okay, money, I'm commissioning you, I'm sending you to go and to destroy hell and to release heaven. So the works of the enemy, I'm sending you to break that stuff down. And out of generosity in my heart, I'm saying release heaven, release Jesus. Amen? Listen, when you're giving tithes and offerings, this is not a game. It's not just, oh, well, we're just trying to keep the lights on. This is sowing into God's kingdom. This is saying, you know what? I value eternal things, and I know that as I give, God is going to release heaven through those things. Our money goes on a mission. So in the same way, we should be on a mission. Amen? We should be on our global mission. And here's some good news. We're not just on a mission. It's not like that commander, that general is in that tent and he said, okay, I'm going to send you out and you're all by yourself. This, maybe on the war field it is that way. But listen, it's not that way with God. Because part of that great commission is he says, surely I will be with you even to the ends of the days. And he says, all authority in heaven and on earth. Say all authority. We're talking about all authority, not just a little bit of authority. Well, I guess I can do a couple little things. I guess I can release a little bit of the kingdom of God. No, all authority in heaven and on earth belong to Yeshua Jesus. And he said, because of that, I'm telling you and I'm equipping you to go and make disciples of all nations. I am with you. Remember how many times in the Old Covenant when he says, you know, be strong and courageous, for I am with you. Do not fear, for I am with you. When they're going into the Promised Land, they were scared. They were afraid. But God said, don't be afraid. I am with you. Emmanuel, God with us, empowering us to do what? To go on our mission. And what happens when you don't have a mission is you start living just apathetically. You start just getting lazy and you start just, our perspectives get jacked up. Our perspectives get skewed and we start getting depressed by the world and the way when things don't work out like they should, we start bearing the weight of that. And I know exactly how that feels. And I believe that a lot of us know how that feels. We start wearing the weight of the world on our shoulders, but God's like, no, I sent you on a mission. You have a purpose. You have a plan. And it's so much bigger than just the events that you will face. It's bigger than the mountains and the valleys. This is an eternal commission, an eternal mission, and I am with you. Surely to the end of the days. Amen? In John 16, 7 through 15, this is Jesus, Yeshua, talking about it's being good. I mean, we've talked about this before, but he says, very truly I tell you, it's good that I'm going away. Because unless I go away, the advocate, that's the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove to the world about wrong and sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where he can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak to you on his own. He will speak to you only what he hears, and he will tell you of what's to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive and what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. He sent his Spirit with us to fulfill the mission. And I believe right now it's so important for us to understand this mission. And I like to think about this kind of thing is there's the God stuff. We're to be radical lovers of God. And I'm not just talking about services. I'm not talking about showing up on a Saturday or Sunday morning or maybe a Wednesday night. These things are amazing. It's incredible to come into God's presence and to worship him. Amen? Isn't it awesome? It's wonderful. It's great. It feels good. And God deserves praise and deserves honor and glory. But we should be radical lovers of God. Radical lovers, where our lives are personally connected to Him every single moment of every single day, where we wake up with Him and we say, good morning, Lord, I love you, I bless you, thank you for this day, I welcome you into this. And as we're going into work and we're going, whatever we're doing, we go to the library, we go to the grocery store, we're meeting with our family, we're just thanking God and we're in communion and connection and we're reading His word and we're praying and we're worshiping. And we're radically loving Jesus, the one who gave it all for us. That's part of our mission, is to be radical lovers of Jesus. And I don't know about you, but love is contagious. When you see somebody like a lovesick, somebody who loves the Lord, somebody whose life is so full of the Spirit and bubbling up and bubbling over, that person has love, joy, and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Their life is bearing the fruit. Is that not attractive? Is that not like, I want something like that in my own life? What is it that you're doing? When people are connecting deeply with the Lord and they're radical lovers of Jesus, it is contagious. All of a sudden, it's like we're carrying around the aroma, the perfume of Yeshua. We smell like Him. Ooh, that smells like something different. What is that? That's the Lord moving in my life. So we're called to be radical lovers of God. But He says, not just radical lovers of me, but then the second one is like it. To love others as you love yourself. The second part is people-focused. And I believe that second part of the mission is split up into two things. And the first thing is go. Go and make disciples. Go! Somebody say 84%. 84%. I want you to say that because 84% in these studies, in these polls, they've conducted these a number of times, 84% of unchurched people would go to service, would go to church if one of their friends or family invited them. 84% statistically. 84% of people that are unchurched would actually go to church if they were invited. Isn't that incredible? It's truly amazing. You know, that's Only 2% of church members that attend church regularly actively invite others to go with them. Hey, would you like to come with me? And again, there's nothing that's like magical about attending a church service. There's nothing that, you know, necessarily in and of itself, like it could be just a normal day. But the idea is people are seeing something. And when you get put into an environment and you're looking for God and your DNA is actually wired to respond to God, you're on a frequency because you're His creation. I believe when you come into the presence of God, something happens. And it's easy. And all it is you're basically inviting them. You're saying, I'll go with you, I'll meet you there. Like, let's go together, and then maybe we'll grab some lunch or something afterward. But check it out. Would you like to come see? 84%, guys. That should be incredible to us. But you know what? We're not just waiting for people to get in here. We're not just waiting for people to come into the doors of the church. When you leave these doors of the church, you're on mission. You are on assignment. We are on a mission. We are sent to go and to make disciples of all the nations. To go means to go. It doesn't mean to sit around and wait. Sometimes we love the holy huddle. But we need to get out playing on the field. We need to be equipping the saints for the work of the ministry to go and evangelize. And in my evangelism, I'm not saying you have to be like, you don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to be perfectly able to articulate all the foundational, spiritual laws and all these things the Romans wrote and all this stuff. No, you go tell them who Jesus is and what He's done for you. Go and live your life and invite them in and say, hey, can I hear your story? Oh man, that's awesome. I wanted to share about my story. And we want to make it here at Church in the City Beth Abraham as easy as we can for you to make those things and just have a culture of, hey, we always are inviting our friends and family, making an open invitation. Hey, come with us. Come check it out. Come hang out. And then we're talking to them. This is, again, we're talking about God said here's my priority. Here's the mission of the church. I want you to fulfill it. It's priority to him, so it has to be priority to us. If it's not, then we're creating the gospel into something that we like, and it's a lot about our own comfort. And again, I understand it. I mean, I know that we live in a society where, you know, everybody's got their garage doors, and, you know, you pull in from work, you know, and you don't really go and talk to your neighbors. A lot of us don't even know our neighbors anymore. We don't know who they are. When we go to work, we're maybe working in a cubicle where we don't interact with a lot of other people. We're kind of guarded. And COVID didn't do us any favors. That really, like, magnified that isolation, that solitude kind of a thing. But we're called to be ones who are going. We're sent on a mission, guys. We have a purpose. The Lord laid that out for us. So that go and that sending, I just encourage us, attend outreaches. Don't just, like, let's not just look at them in our bulletin. Let's just not hear about them and applaud for them when stuff happens. Let's actually go and release the kingdom of God. Let's go on a mission. Let's go to the Denver Rescue Mission. Let's go feed the homeless. Let's go minister to single parents. Let's go and outreach to the communities. Let's go and share this faith that has radically transformed us. But he's not just transformed us for our sake. He's transformed us for their sake. For the sake of the world. That's why Yeshua said, go. I'm equipping you. I am with you. Now go. Go and make disciples. And again, this isn't about guilt or condemnation. I don't want it to sound like that, but it is about, like, listen, if I'm serious about my faith, and if I actually believe that Jesus Yeshua has the power to save and deliver and break off the chains of oppression and give me right relationship with the Lord and allow me to go out and minister to others, I should take that seriously. And I want to live my life to reflect that. I want to give my life for the Lord because he gave his life for me. Amen? The second part of the people element, so we have the God element, we have the go element, and I believe there's that second half of the people element, which is a family. When people come to us, how do they experience us? Do they experience us as hard or brash? You know, where, like, you wouldn't even know that the person's saved by the look on their face. They're not exuding a lot of joy, openness, warmth. I don't know about you, but when I'm with the Lord, he sees me and he loves me. It's radical. I mean, it is like a radical embrace. Whether I deserve it or not, he always comes to me and he always holds me close and he's looking at me and he loves me. The people of God, that's how it should be for us. That's how it should be when people come in through these doors. It shouldn't just be like, oh, well, that's, you know, good for you, but I'm here to pay my obligation. I'm here to do my own thing. No, this should be like a family. So what a healthy family. What does a healthy family do? Well, they talk to each other. They meet with each other. They uplift each other. They care for each other. They're there for one another. It's not just about them, it's about the community, it's about the family. God has himself wired us to need one another. Brain science actually talks about that we are wired to need one another. Humans are wired to need one another. Even if you look at the way that God has given us, we have our mothers, we have our fathers, we're wired to depend on one another. God wired us that way. We need one another, and we want to be a family. We want to be a place where people feel safe. Where when you invite your friends and your family, and 84% statistically of those people say, yeah, I'll come check it out. Why not? I've been curious as to what a congregation, what a church is like. And they come in here, and they're met with smiles, and they're met with warmth, and like, how you doing? Hey, thank you so much for being here. It's good to see you. Who are you? What's your name? Just warmth, gentleness, love. Listen, I don't know about you, but that's the kind of place, if I'm in a dark pit and I'm going to hell, I want some heaven. I want to see some life. I want to see some love. I want to see some joy. If I want to see staunchy people and bummed out people, I can go watch TV. I can go hang out at the bus stop and see that. I don't need any of that. This just to be the place where we are full of life and joy. Why? Because we know that the Son has set us free, and we are free indeed. Amen? And we have joy that goes beyond what our circumstances are. Man, I remember talking to this when I first started coming, talking to some folks that attended the church, and they were homeless. And man, I'd never seen such joy on people's lives. I mean, they were homeless, and they're just like, man, Jesus is so cool. He's so great. I just love the Lord. And I'm like, here I am, you know, talking to somebody who doesn't even have a place, a permanent place to live. So it doesn't matter, but God wants us to be a family, y'all. He wants us to be a family. It's part of our mission. It's part of what God says, to love others as you love yourself. Amen? It's a big part of what we want. You know, I shared this at the outreach that we did, but back in 2019, I had this vision in a prayer time. And I wanted to share it with us, and I believe that this is a vision that's going to apply to just how I feel like God was speaking to me and hopefully to us about how we're to live out this mission. And in this vision, I saw a picture of a field. And this field had all of this wheat, and it was about waist high, and it was beautiful. And set in the middle of this field, there was like a clearing. There was like a circular clearing, and where the wheat had kind of been harvested, and there was a table in the middle of this clearing. And on this table, all of this, like all these place settings were being placed out by people that were young and old and black and white and brown. I mean, everybody who was working around and placing this plates on there and cups. Some would have fruit. And I mean, it was this huge table. And the people had so much joy when they were doing it. And I realized God was speaking to me about those were believers. Those were sons and daughters. Those were followers of Jesus. And they were setting this table, and it was such a cool picture. And all of a sudden, in this vision, I saw these golden nameplates. You know how, like, if you sit down at a really fancy place, there's like your nameplate. It says, you know, like it has your name, usually written in some cool calligraphy. Well, these were like golden nameplates, and they had names of people on them. And then in this next part of this vision, I see these other folks. Some people are like around the table doing stuff around the table. And then on the other part of this, there's these people that start coming in. It's like the Field of Dreams, if anybody's ever seen that show. They were like looking around like in wonder and awe. What am I doing here? They found themselves just kind of wandering in, and they kind of approached the clearing spot. And then there was these other sons and daughters, these other believers that came up, and they saw those people coming in, and they would just go up to them and say, hey, how you doing? Hey, welcome. Come here. And they were ushering them over to the table. And they said, hey, look, here's your place. And they would see their name. It's like their name was already been prepared. And so they sat down at this table. And so you have all these different people. And some of these people had gang tattoos on their necks and on their faces. Some of these people I saw had some like rainbow flags. And you know, you could tell like their lives were just kind of a mess, right? People were in all kinds of different places. And they were sitting down. There was a place for them. And all of a sudden, in this vision, I saw Jesus started walking around. He was walking around this table. And man, listen, when he was walking around, he was like, these people kind of looking around, and all of a sudden they would see Jesus across the table, and they'd look up at him. And as soon as he would like catch their eye, they were like arrested. They were like captivated by this glory and by this love in his eyes. And then he kept on walking, and sometimes he would touch people, and all of a sudden these gang tattoos would disappear, and these markings and these bearings and stuff, they would just get washed away. It was incredible, and it was like super powerful, but I believe that God was saying, this is what a picture of like the harvest is like. We are co-laborers with God in his kingdom. We are the ones that are the helpers. We're setting the table, and we're going and we're helping to usher people in. But listen, it's God's table. And he is providing, he's provided all the place settings, he's provided all the food, and he's provided the salvation. We are co-laborers. Our mission is to joyfully and cheerfully love the Lord by serving him and by bringing others and ushering them and saying, hey, there's a place for you at the table. Listen, this world, this city, Denver, is full of people who don't know that there's a seat for them at the table. They don't think that there's a seat for them at the table. They don't even know that there's a table. Some of these people, they're just lost and confused, wandering around like this, waiting for somebody to say, hey, come here. There's a seat for you at the table. And as we usher them in, watch and see what God does. You know what that looks like? That looks like reconciliation. Reconciliation is saying that things are being made right, reconciled, put back into correct relationship. This church, this body, we have a calling to the ministry of reconciliation. A calling to realize that we are reconciled to God and we are also reconcilers of one another. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, is anybody in Christ in here? All right. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. That means we're not what we used to be. We're something new. The old is gone, the new is here. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation, and therefore we are Christ's ambassadors, his representatives, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin, so for us that in him we might be able to be the righteousness of God. Some people have described our church as like the barroom in Star Wars. Like some weirdness. That's okay. I remember the first time I walked into the doors of the church. Man, it was like that barroom in Star Wars. There was a guy who was a homeless, passed out. He was like literally passed out, drunk, in the church, and nobody's kicking him out. Hey, they're like, well, at least he's here and he's warm. I'm like, whoa, wow, that's pretty cool. And there was people from all different nationalities. People were suited and booted, if you know what that means. Some people were suited and booted. Some people, they were wearing, you know, rags, really. But it was just like everybody was welcome. And there was this amazing kind of like ministry of reconciliation that was there, amen? It was beautiful. And I said, this is what something like heaven looks like. Everybody has a seat at the table who's willing to accept the invitation. As we go out into the highways, into the byways, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentiles, we issue the invitation through the Great Commission to go and make disciples of the world, to go and make disciples, to bring them in and say there's a Savior who loves you, who paid the price for you, who reconciled you, and now you get to be saved into the family of God. So you might have grown up without a daddy, but you sure got a daddy now. You might have grown up without a healthy family. Well, you got a healthy family now. That's what the good news is. And now, guess what? Now you have that family. Go and tell somebody else. Go and help somebody else. Go and reach out to somebody else who needs to know that they have a family, needs to know that there is much more to living this life than politics, than money, than sex, than drugs, than advancement in our professions, than any of this other stuff. Amen? But we also know that, like Jackie reminded us this morning, there's a war going on. There's a war going on. There is a thief that wants to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. Wants to kill all the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Doesn't want us burying any of that. Wants to kill all the gifts that God's given us. Wants to keep us oppressed and depressed and anxious and fearful. He wants to push us down and keep us in captivity. He is a thief. The enemy of our soul is a thief. John 10:10 says this, the thief, he only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What's his purpose? Stealing, killing, destroying. What's he want to steal? Our mission. What's he want to kill? Our mission. What's he want to destroy? Our mission. He wants to get us clouded and confused. He wants us to be so focused on things that don't eternally actually matter and away from the mission that we're all called to. That's what he wants to do. Therefore, we should have no footholds for the enemy. That's why the scripture says, don't let there be a foothold for the enemy. You know, in ancient times, they would build walls around cities. And those walls were their means of protection. And so when the enemy came to attack these cities, they would look for a foothold. They'd look for a little way to climb that wall. They look for little things, like if you go to a climbing wall, the little knobs on those walls that people use to kind of climb up, they would look for those. And once they found those, they'd found a route, and then they would all be able to scale the wall. And that's when the Lord says, don't let the enemy have any of those footholds in your life. Don't allow it. Don't let him steal the joy of being on a mission. People of God, listen, you are on a mission. You have a purpose. You have a plan. That's to fulfill the greatest two commandments, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others as yourself, and to go and make disciples. Amen? That's our mission. Plain and simple. And we know we have this enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy, but the good news is, again, Jesus, Yeshua, said, but I have come to give you life and life to the full. Somebody say fullness. Listen, I don't know about you, but I like fullness. You could probably tell by my body size that I like fullness. I like to be full. Listen, when I go to the all-you-can-eat sushi place, they're losing money on me because I like to be full. I don't play around with a little bit. I want the fullness. I don't go to a buffet and just take a couple little things. I'm going to eat the whole thing. I'm sorry if that's wrong, but that's how it is. I want to be full. Listen, I don't want to spiritually eat just a little bit. I don't want to just a little taste of the Lord. I don't want to just a little Sunday or a little bit of Saturday or a little bit of Wednesday night. I want the fullness. I want to be full. I want to be overflowing with the Lord. I want to taste and see that the Lord is good and delight and find the joy that's present at the right hand of the Lord, and in His presence is the fullness of joy forevermore. I want to live my life that way. I want to live my life on a mission, and God wants for all of us to be that way. He wants you to be full. He says, come to me. And that full life is full of purpose. It's full of joy. It's full of life. And it doesn't matter. Life is going to have our ups and downs. Jesus said that. Said, in this life, you will have troubles. You're going to have them, troubles. They're going to come. But as like some of my friends like to say, it ain't no thing but a chicken wing. It ain't no thing but a chicken wing. Listen, if you're going to have stuff that comes up. Okay. So what? There's a bigger purpose, there's a bigger plan, and I'm not trying to be insensitive to pain because we all go through stuff. Listen, that stuff is real. But at the foot of the cross, we realize in the big picture of the global mission of the church, the Big C church, those little grains of sand don't really matter as much as we feel like they do. The thing that matters is loving God with everything that we have, loving others as ourselves, becoming the family of God, and going and preaching the good news of the gospel of Yeshua. Amen? And He's given us every single thing that we need to do it. Did you know that signs and wonders will follow those that believe? Listen, I believe that. I believe that those spiritual gifts, those are for a purpose. Those spiritual things that we have in our lives, the purposes and the plans, the things that God's put inside of us, they're for a purpose. They're to go and to reach out to the lost and the broken. They're going to release the kingdom of heaven. You have heaven inside of you. If you are a follower of Jesus, heaven itself is flowing through you to reach the lost. Jesus is with you. He sent His Spirit. He is Emmanuel, God with us, to accomplish the impossible. 84% of people are waiting. 84% of people, I believe that other 16%, they're just not, you know, ask them again and see what happens. But listen, people are wanting us to be inviting them to the kingdom, inviting them to the table. And it's not just like we're doing that alone. Literally, that is an answer to the assignment from God Himself. So something tells me if God gave us the assignment, He'll give us all the things that we need to fulfill the assignment. And the results are up to Him. Our response is just saying, yes, I'm going to do it. Yes, I want to be a radical lover of yours. Yes, I want to follow after you. Yes, I want to love my neighbor as I love myself. Yes, I want to go and witness and evangelize and tell people about Yeshua. Yes, I want to be a family member. I want to help be just a healthy person for this community. That's what I believe that the global mission of the Big C Church is. And it's not about us. We get to co-labor with God. The good news is this, and I'll close with this scripture. It's 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 through 9. What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants, through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned us each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but it is God that makes things grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose. They will each be rewarded according to their own labor, for we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. Amen? It reminds me a little bit of John 15. And John 15 is my favorite chapter in all of Scripture, and it really talks about abiding. Yeshua said, I am the vine, you are the branches. And he's assigned us to bear much fruit, and fruit that will last. But he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So if we want to bear the fruit of the mission, we have to abide. We have to be in constant communication. We have to be in relationship with the Lord. But again, the good news is that he has promised, surely I will be with you even to the end of the age. Amen. So he is with us. Let's all stand. We're just going to close in just a response to the Lord of, I love like Scripture says, here I am, send me. I think that's a really good response to understanding the mission, the big picture that we're all part of. You are a believer in Jesus, a follower of Yeshua. This is your mission. This is your mission, should you choose to accept it. And this isn't like mission impossible, this is mission possible. Because through Christ, all things are possible, amen? Every single thing. That neighbor that you really feel like, oh, they're never going to come to the Lord. Oh, yeah? Watch and see what God wants to do. That family member that you're estranged from. Watch. All things are possible. Let's pray. Lord, we realize that we are your creation. We are you're the potter and we're the clay. We humbly come to you, Lord, recognizing that fact. Sometimes we act like we're the potter. Sometimes we act like we're in control. Sometimes we act like we want our own way. But Lord, we know that God, our way is not the way. There's only one way, and it's you. It's to align with you in your heart, in your word, in your spirit, oh God. Lord, you have sent us on a mission. We have a purpose. You've given us something to live for. And Lord, while you've blessed us with every single breath that we have, while we're here on earth, Lord, we want it to be fruitful for you, reflective of loving you and loving others as we love ourselves, Lord, and being a family and taking your good news and spreading it to all the nations of the earth and whatever our sphere of influence, Lord. And so we ask that, God, you would help us, equip us by your Spirit. We know that you're with us. We know that you love us and you've already promised to never leave us or forsake us. But God, give us the boldness. Give us the passion to love you. God, give us the fire inside of our hearts, Lord, where some of us it's just laid dormant. That we've forgotten what it means to love you. We've forgotten what it means, that first love in our hearts. Oh God, would you rekindle that stuff in our lives? And then as you do that in our lives, we would be passionate lovers of you, passionate lovers of other people. And we would say yes to the Great Commission. We would say yes to the great commandment. We would say yes to every single thing that you have for us, Lord, and our lives would be lived in that priority of radically loving you, radically loving others, becoming a family, and going with the gospel. Just pray for your Spirit to come. Pray for your Spirit to be released. And Lord, we just release an impartation of your grace and your boldness and your courage and your fire and your rejuvenation, where those of us who feel dry, they would be saturated by your presence, saturated by your love, and saturated by inspiration to do the works of the gospel, to go and live life to the full like Jesus, like you said that we should. Inspire us and fill us with your presence, God. We love you and we thank you. B'Shem Yeshua, in Jesus' name, amen.